coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It was Hideki's week to shine in his native land. Unfortunately, we had some trouble adjusting our clocks. We'll get into that in the Revenge Tour as well. Plus, what we're tuned into outside of the world of golf and sports includes live music and a crucial movie review as well that you're going to want to hear. And this week's guest is Brandi Molloy, friend of the show. She's back. It's been a year since we last chatted, but that means that it is time to get pumped up for the holidays if she's joining us on the Course of Life. And we got football and baseball tidbits, plus we always end with food, all of it brought to you by our friends at City Bonfire. Michael, peak fall months. How's the weather in GA? Are we getting any of those cool, crisp fall vibes? Because we're starting to get them here in Texas.
You know, we are, but only for about, 2 hours in the morning.
Okay, cool. So if you want to start your day off, you know, your morning cup of coffee out on the porch down south, and you want to start off a nice way, you could do so with a City Bonfire. It's a neat little portable, reusable bonfire. You can really use it at any time of the day or any time of the year if you want, but I'm setting the vibe for you. It's easy to light and easy to put out. You can put it in a beach bag, backpack. It's easy on the go. I enjoy one in the evening. It's great to have a nice evening fire setting. Can't go wrong there. And also, we get into a little s'mores conversation this week. City Bonfire, a great s'mores companion as well. Check them out at citybonfires.com. Promo code COLFIRE. That's COLFIRE to save 10% off any order on their website at citybonfires.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was a revenge week in Japan at the Zozo Championship, where Hideki Matsuyama said, now I can win in my home country after not being able to win at the Olympics. And he won pretty easily by 5 strokes.
Yeah, you said this was out there on last week's episode. You totally threw this out immediately as storyline number one. It's, listen, Hideki kind of blew it in the Olympics. It was Xander taking gold and him being out of medal contention. That was a big opportunity taken away from him there in the games a few months ago. So him coming back to his native land was kind of interested to see if and what sort of pressure would be on him. Whatever there was, it really didn't bother him. He's always played so unfazed throughout his career, but especially this week in front of the home crowd, and he just absolutely cruised. I think he won by a handful of shots and made it look real easy.
Yeah, he certainly seemed like he was pretty comfortable out there. Opened with a 64 and finished with a 65 with 68s in the middle there. So pretty commanding victory, really. And I would have put money on him had you remembered that this was being played in Japan and our picks had to be done earlier than normal.
Yes, let's get to the elephant in the room, the brain fart that cost us first time in a while. I had a couple. Yeah. So again, it's a weird spot on the PGA Tour schedule for them to be playing stateside, and then go to Japan for a week. And then we're coming back to Bermuda and then essentially stateside for the rest of the fall. So it was a little blip on the radar, and it definitely cost my brain dearly. I was not ready for that Wednesday afternoon start. I'm usually used to posting my picks on Twitter weekly at Course of Life One on Wednesday evening, and I give you the little nudge to post yours. But we missed the starting gate there. So no start for us. And I tried to avenge it with the thought that I might pick some weekend guys going into Friday, and I missed that gate as well too. Mm-hmm. So 0-for-2 trying to get my picks off this past week.
Pretty much what you're saying is you were so concerned that I was going to pick a winner that my bookie just didn't do any picks so that you wouldn't have to pay out to me.
Say that you would have picked Hideki. I told you last week I wanted Hideki. Of course,
I would have picked Hideki and Xander. Xander ended up falling pretty flat during the course of the week. So
yeah, you're the guy with the winning ticket that's hammering on the window outside trying to see if there's an employee home to pay you out right now. Unfortunately, the book is closed for the night, Mike. But yeah, we did not get the picks off for the Zozo. We'll get them off in time this Wednesday evening for Bermuda. But yeah, a little bit of a brain fart moment for us. But regularly, almost all the time, you can check our picks weekly. I'm at Course of Life One again, and you're at MWR Inc.
Let's talk about the PGA Tour Champions Tour, because this week at the Dominion Energy Charity Classic, Phil Mickelson was back in the field and he did not win.
Oh, my God. His wonderful batting average drops to 60%, 600 right now. Yeah. Just three wins in five appearances for Phil in the senior circuit. What a horrible misstep. He wasn't even in contention, shockingly. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even sniffing the first page of the leaderboard. The Ironman Bernhard Langer got it done. And Langer now with his 42nd win on the senior tour circuit. So the legends that stick around there still continue to win despite the fact that Phil had an off week.
Yeah, you know, you don't expect him to win every week. Well, maybe you do.
I did.
Yeah, you're right. We kind of do.
I think in protest, he's going to take like a few months off now. I wonder if he plays their finale maybe in November. But outside of that, I think that might be it for him on the senior circuit until 2022.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. Coming up this weekend, though, you said it a minute or so ago there, the tour is headed to Bermuda, Jamaica. Come on, Pretty Mama.
Bermuda, Bahama, yep. Come on, Pretty Mama. Shout out to Beach Boys. I just had to throw that in there because I was on a roll as I was putting the notes together for my thoughts on this week. But this is always an interesting stop because obviously it's this time of the year when the golf calendar is not too busy and there's not too many eyes in the game. But I think it's neat that they get to this little island spot here in the fall. It's produced a champion like Victor Hovland before a couple years back, getting a win here. We had Brendan Todd. You remember he had his hot real little run when he won back-to-back weeks. That was one of those events here. So this does have the potential for some dramatic finishes as we've seen in past years.
Yeah, and really not a lot of players making the trek from Japan all the way over to Bermuda. I don't know if you could go much further away than that.
And that's quite a flight plan for whoever did. Really shout out to the list of guys who did get from Zozo to Bermuda, and they're probably doing it right now, to be honest, as we talk. Probably. It's going to take them a couple of days, but I did see that our mutual friend of the show, Dylan Wu, did get there safely. This is his first go-round at the event. His brother Jeremy caddying on the bag as well, too, hopped in the pool pretty much immediately after they got the resort. So it's always tricky traveling to Bermuda, from what I can tell. Not a lot of direct flights. You got to go through an East Coast airport, and you and I know how fickle those East Coast East Coast airports can be. You just never know what you're going to get.
It's true. You never do. So our picks for this event will be out on Wednesday evening because it is a traditional Thursday morning start.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. The two alarms are set for this Wednesday, so the picks go off, and hopefully we bounce back with an official winner here.
I'm sure we will probably not, but we'll see what happens. You'll never know. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of golf, because I know this week, Alex, it was still a sport weekend in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, big weekend here. Sneaky, I think one of the biggest like financial, just like money flow weekends in the entire city of Austin all year, because all the rich Europeans are coming in for Formula One weekend. This is the one weekend where the Circuit of the Americas track attracts tens of thousands, I think it was hundreds of thousands of people this past weekend. I got there Friday, got to see the cars in practice. I got to see 21 Pilots in concert. Great to get back to a big time music act playing in just a huge outdoor amphitheater, just kind of lawn, throw down a blanket and relax, style concert. They put on an electric show for what you do or don't know about 21 Pilots and their music. Tyler, lead singer, doing backflips all over the place, just a super high energy show for an hour and a half.
Crazy. I also had a return to a sense of normalcy for me from everything that's happened over the last year and a half. I re-entered a movie theater for the first time.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, I think I've only done that maybe once or twice in our COVID era here. So how was the experience back in the theaters? What'd you go see?
Well, so it was a 12:45 p.m. showing on a Thursday. Empty theater.
Awesome. Stretch those legs out. Yep.
Exactly. And I went to go see the new James Bond flick, No Time to Die.
Nice. Okay. I've had an inordinate amount of movies recently that have been on my list. Like I could actually see myself going to theaters and seeing this. And that is one of them. I'm sneaky, a big Bond guy. You know me, I'm not a huge movie guy, but one of the actual series of movies I actually keep up with is the Bond movies. So what's the official first thoughts, the knee-jerk reaction, No Time to Die?
Okay, so my top three Bond films coming into this movie were, in no particular order, Casino Royale, Skyfall, and Goldfinger.
Okay, all right. Love Casino Royale. Don't remember too much Goldfinger. Yep, Skyfall. Okay, got it.
Noted. Okay. Yes. After seeing No Time to Die, I think Goldfinger has dropped out of my top three.
All right, it supplanted it. Okay.
Yep.
So that means you have it in pretty high regard.
Yeah. I don't know if it's one or two or where on the list No Time to Die falls, but it certainly is. If Casino Royale and Skyfall gave you an emotionally nuanced James Bond, this gave you an emotionally compromised James Bond. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because there's so much in here. I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
I like that, though. Teasing a little character depth, maybe, here.
A little is an understatement.
Nice. Okay, good teaser there. No Time to Die. Good stuff. And welcome back to the theater. Any popcorn or soda would you partake in?
No, nothing this time around. That's
just
all right.
Just a dry run, afternoon in-and-out business-like cinema trip.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that. And once you start getting old, you have to go to the bathroom a lot. So I didn't want to have something salty and to drink, because honestly, an hour and a half into this 2-hour and 45-minute movie, it's a very long movie, I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I was able to pull out.
So, man, I hear you on that one. Such an old guy problem. That's too much information. I'm glad to see you back in the cinema.
TMI from two old guys about getting old. All the real people that are actually old are like, shut up, guys.
Yeah, I know.
We're millennials. Not about that too much, right? All right, let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. Alex, the golf season is quieting down a little bit, and the holidays are right around the corner. We're like 2 months from Christmas at this point. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, inside 60 days. It's Halloween week. I've got some confessions I'll be making over the next week about how much holiday prep I've been doing, but spoilers, it's a lot, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's also been just about a year since we last talked to this week's returning guest.
Yes, that's right. Our favorite guest for the holiday tips, the recipes, the easy little things that you don't just quite think to do around the house that can really make things more awesome from just a food and life perspective. We love having Brandy Malloy on. She's been on a million talk shows in the last year and catches us up on everything in life and gets us really jazzed up for the holidays as well, too, which I love.
Can't wait to hear it. But first, as always, want to let you know this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart, so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely, so you can stay locked into your round. You're able to talk of your foursome in. It's a great gift for Christmas. We just said it. We're like right there at 60 days right now, Tuesday night when this episode drops. It's the 25th of October. You need to start getting Christmas gifts, and we can save you 10% off the course of life, the Phone Caddy. It's the perfect stocking stuffer. It's a great office gift. It's great for everything.
Love it.
And save 10% with the promo code Course of Life. You can get a Phone Caddy in almost any color, and you can get one from their patriotic line and show your support for the police officer, firefighter, or veteran in your life. So head on over to desertfoxgolf.com, get your Phone Caddy, and use a promo code Course of Life to save 10%. Again, that's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com.
Next up, we have one of our favorite follows. No, scratch that. Our favorite follow on Instagram for recipes, fun ideas, decorations year round. But this time of year is when she especially thrives during the holidays. I can't believe it's been a year since we last talked, but it's TV host Brandy Malloy joining us. Brandy, it's great to hear from you again. How is everything?
Thanks for having me. You're so sweet. Things are good. I love that you said I thrive during the holidays. I don't know about that. It just feels like it. It, like, our summer was just here and now it's over.
I know.
I'm still holding on.
You are. And in terms of life updates for you, you've done a whole bunch of content, which we'll get to, but you recently had an anniversary as well. Congrats on 5 years being married. I know you've had kind of a whirlwind 5 years to get where we are now, but how's everything at home in California with your husband and the kids now?
Good. Things are good. I mean, I can't complain. I find myself going to the beach as often as possible. That kind of was, I used to always go with the kids, and now it's like, you know what? I'm going to go in the mornings when everyone's asleep and just enjoy the quiet and the stillness. But yeah, they're keeping me busy. Millie is in school now. And so my 4-year-old is in pre-K. My 2-year-old is at home, and yeah, we are busy.
I love that. Yeah. And Sunny is too, like you mentioned, Millie. Now I see her working in the garden, and Sunny's doing a lot more in the kitchen. We talked last time kind of about how you love to get your kids involved around the house. It seems like now since a year's passed, they're both doing even more around there, aren't they?
I know. And you know what? It's funny because I'm really big into independence and autonomy and just making sure that my kids know that they can do anything. And sometimes you really have to have patience because one of them will see that the other's helping me, and then they both want me to grab their toddler stools and they both want to stir. But yeah, I mean, Millie can make her own avocado toast, and Sunny helps me make eggs, and it's really great. I think it's so important that my children feel capable in our home.
That's awesome. Again, it's Brandy Malloy on IG. That's Brandy, MILLOY. Great parenting content in addition to all the food content that we love. You've seen her on food TV, all sorts of talk shows. I think in the last year, I saw Dr. Phil and E! Daily Pop and Kelly Clarkson as well, too. It's funny, we talked last year about how all of the content was like remote, at home, Zoom calls and whatnot. It's gone a little bit more back to some in-person content. What's been the mix like for you, and what's it like kind of getting back out in front of people for real?
Well, you know what's interesting, Alex, is it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not, you're still going to do a PCR test 2 days before you go to set, and you're going to do a rapid test the morning of. Then you're wearing a mask and a shield. So it's a lot, but it's so great to be back on set with people and just sharing that energy and being able to connect and create together.
That's awesome. And I know you do a great job of balancing it all. It's tricky at times. I appreciate, though, that you're very real on social media. This past week, you had a great realness post about life and parenting and the joys of home ownership as well, too. People often wonder and kind of ask, like, how you make the time to balance it all. But kind of what are your suggestions for the parents out there, especially maybe when you're having not your greatest week on the home front?
I know. I think it's so important to think back to the newborn stage and how tomorrow is a new day. It's still that way, no matter if your kid is in middle school or beyond. Like, you might have a really, really hard day, but what's great is tomorrow is a new day and you can totally rebound from it. And something that I try to practice is just remembering that when I look back on even last year, there were so many amazing moments. And I think, oh my gosh, those were the good old days. And this was such a great moment and all these memories. And then time just goes by so quickly. And so trying to really be grateful and present and think that in the moment you're in is the best moment. And it is the good old days when you're in it, as opposed to like wanting and you know, yearning for other things and wishing time would pass and just being more grateful for the abundance that you have.
Love that. Definitely appreciate the little things. Hold on to those moments because they all do matter the same. I appreciate that from Brandy Malloy. All right, let's get to a little bit of the teaser of the holiday talk that I wanted to get to. I noticed you were very busy and started your holiday season nice and early doing a holiday shoot with your partners at World Market. I love that partnership you do, highlighting everything they have to offer. And I noticed that you posed the question earlier in fall about, you know, how early is too early for Christmas? I'm curious, you know, where do you stand? I think you know where I stand, but where do you stand and what were the results of that poll from your fans out there?
You know, I think the last 2 years have been tremendously stressful and weird and hard and lovely and all the emotions that everyone just wants, all the feel-good content. They want the holidays. They want the magic. And so a lot of my community, they were not surprised. I had a Christmas tree up before October because I was shooting holiday content. But for me, I love to savor each and every chapter. And it did give me like this fun little, it did give me a really great feeling in my heart. And I kind of got butterflies about the Christmas season and all those magical moments when I had my tree up for these World Market shoots. But then I wanted to put it away after the shoot because I really wanted to focus on the fall and just the feeling of the weather changing here. And our family's going to dress up as a family this year, and we've never done that before. And then Thanksgiving is its own beautiful holiday. So I like to just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit, but you best believe probably like the day after Thanksgiving, I'm going to just transform my entire home into a winter wonderland. Even the kids have tiny little trees for their rooms.
Nice. Fair enough. Yeah. We did just say live in the moment. So I guess we can't skip all the way to Christmas quite yet, but the decorations will go up regardless. So it definitely is officially holiday time since you're listening to this now. And let's talk about the fall vibes as well too. We have a real cool partner here on the podcast. It's City Bonfires. They make these portable reusable fires.
Oh, I know those
and
guys.
They are really great for s'mores. Now, one thing I saw you post recently on your Instagram is the thought process of just kind of rethinking s'mores and maybe going a little bit outside the box. Take everyone maybe like one step outside the box of what your traditional s'more setup looks like and some cool things that we could add in this fall.
Oh yeah. I mean, longer the days of just grabbing some graham crackers and regular marshmallows and Hershey's chocolate. For me, it's all about building the ultimate s'mores bar. And so you allow your friends and family to just build their own combination. Some of my favorites involve a lot of salty sweets. So I love using Ritz crackers, butter crackers, Biscoff cookies, Walker shortbread, and then chocolate. You can really go wild. I mean, there's so many amazing salty sweet chocolates, caramel chocolates, nutty chocolates. And then as far as the marshmallows, it really just depends on what you're into. I mean, I love the jumbo marshmallows because I'm a big marshmallow person. I'd love to get them super toasty and almost burned.
Yes.
But you can also have fun with the kind of marshmallows you use. You know, there's all these flavors of marshmallows, but I would challenge listeners to really think about those salty sweet snacks that you crave and have fun in the chocolate aisle. Even some of those fruity chocolate bars that have like nuts and cranberries and squish them, you know, make a s'more, squish it together, close your eyes and just let your taste buds tell you what's going on because it's so fun to come up with your own combos.
How bad could that be? Right. And I love the idea of the other breads instead of the graham crackers. That wasn't even thinking on that level. So I appreciate that tip too.
Yes.
And it is that time right now. Here we are. It's end of Halloween as we're listening to this Halloween week, in fact. So the kids are coming home with too much candy. They think they can eat it all. They probably shouldn't. What are your tips for kind of, you know, negotiating maybe Halloween? And then kind of like, what are the plans afterwards when we've got the extra candy? Do you have any creative ways to kind of reuse it or put it in recipes? What are good for people at home out there?
Sure. Well, Alex, you cannot buy candy you don't like. So if you're trying to be cheap and just get bags of candy that you really don't care about, you're doing it wrong. And all the kids in your neighborhood are going to, you know, know exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen that meme where it's like all the pictures of the kind of candies and it's like the old timer, you know, the traditionalist. And then the legend is the person that has the super sized chocolate bars.
Yes.
I love that one.
In every neighborhood. Hopefully you know that person in your life.
I know. Well, I think my goal is to be that person. Like I want to be that person. I want all the kids to be talking about my house. You know, one of my favorite go-tos is making holiday bark. And it is the easiest recipe. I'll tell you too, holiday bark and then Rocky Road. So holiday bark is literally just melted chocolate with all sorts of fun mix-ins. I would just chop up any of my leftover chocolate candies. I've even done it with gummy bears if you're doing white chocolate. So kind of imagine white chocolate bark. So it's melted white chocolate with your Sour Patch and your Sour Punch straws and gummy bears. Yeah, it's so good. And then when it comes to the chocolate one, I would just do all the chocolate candies that you have. And so you melt the chocolate, you toss it in, you spread it out on a baking sheet and let it firm up in the fridge and then kind of break it apart. And actually, that's a really great gift to give to your neighbors or your friends. You put it in little cello bags and you have this really cool edible gift and no one needs to know it's Halloween candy. My other idea, and I'm pretty sure I have this recipe on my Instagram or my website, is Rocky Road. And here in the US, we think of Rocky Road as like a marshmallow and chocolate and peanut concoction. But in Europe, Rocky Road is a really beautiful dessert, and it's typically white chocolate with marshmallows and pistachios and dried cranberries. And then you can add in a whole bunch of different candies. And so I love to repurpose my Halloween candy into really cool decadent treats. And then another thing is, I'm sure if you guys, you guys can Google it, but there's a lot of cool nonprofits that love taking leftover Halloween candy, for their, you know, youth, or I know a lot of the veterans organizations that I've worked with, they use them for care packages. So there's definitely some really purposeful things you can do with your leftover Halloween candy.
Nice. I love those ideas. And the bark sounds phenomenal. It sounds like that could be pretty photogenic for everyone out there at home too, who's looking to make something that's cool for the content game, which I know you're great at. I'm curious, when you're making all these desserts though, a question I haven't asked you yet, you know, you are making these desserts and you're making lots of things with the idea that there's going to be photos and video taken and for their for content. How much of that kind of goes into your cooking and how you're prepping the food? Are you kind of looking at it through the lens of a camera, or kind of more so with your taste buds, or a mix of both?
You know, it's a mix of both, because I'm really, you know, the same person on the court as I am off the court. And so nice. For me, like, I can't not be a producer. I can't not be a director. And it's actually brutal. It's so hard for me to do things and not capture content. And so the other week I went to a bachelorette and I made this huge charcuterie board, and I was just like, oh my God, I need to time-lapse this. I need to do this. And what's funny is, the bride was my producer at another studio. And it's like, she read my mind and she grabbed her camera and said, well, we need to time lapse this. And in my, you know, in my heart, I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because I don't want to be the freak at a bachelorette party that's like, excuse me, guys, I need to get my shots before you can eat this. But we did it. And that's a reel now.
Yeah. Once you're in this content game, it's just hard to keep your eyes off it at any moment. I definitely feel you on that. Very cool. Again, joined by Brandy Malloy here, food lifestyle parenting expert, Brandy Malloy on Instagram. Let's talk about flipping the page to Thanksgiving. So October, late October is when I kind of start thinking about Thanksgiving, which is where we are right now. I'm curious, at Malloy Household, do you like to do the same kind of Thanksgiving dinner each year? Or do you like to mix up with themes? I've been finding that I've been going to kind of different themed turkeys. I'm going to go Southern and Cajun this year with some of my sides. Nice. What's the preference for your end on Thanksgiving?
All right, Alex, I'm such a creature of habit. Like, I'm the kind of person that once I find my restaurant, I order the same thing. And then if friends come, you know, I'll make them order different things and I want to try it. But I'm totally a creature of habit when it comes to holidays, except I might have fun with one or two sides or one or two desserts. So that's kind of as far as I go, because for me, there's such a comfort level attached to the experience of the holidays that I just don't want to mess with it too much. It's hard. Like, and even when I'm not hosting, when I go to my mother-in-law's, if she tries to add anything different, or she's like, oh, I didn't do mashed potatoes because we did mac and cheese, I'm like, what? Like, how can I possibly eat in circles now? Because the side that I was craving and so excited about, you didn't make. So sometimes I even ask ahead of time if we're not hosting, like, hey, so what's on the menu? Because I just want to make sure that, you know, the things I'm looking forward to are going to make an appearance.
You're a sucker for the tradition. Definitely. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nice. One cool thing I know I'm going to do for Thanksgiving is I'm going to kind of rethink the traditional mashed potatoes, which I know might scare you, but I'm just going to do some loaded baked potatoes and do like a little baked potato bar for myself and friends and family. One cool thing that I saw that you put up recently on your Instagram is you kind of flipped a potato dish and created a really neat football food dish. And it was some sort of like a loaded potato dip, right? Where you describe what went into that.
Yes. It's amazing. Oh, well, I mean, I love potatoes so much. I mean, that is just one of my favorite foods ever. And so I decided to make a baked potato dip. And so it's all the things that you would put in a loaded baked potato. So the sour cream, the cheese, chives if you want, garlic, bacon, of course, different cheeses. And I made it into this luscious dip. And the way that I like to serve it is with waffle fries or little tater tots. And it is so good. And actually, I think it would be a fantastic appetizer for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to trying different variations of that this season and all football season too. I think that goes really well for a Saturday or Sunday on the couch. All right, Absolutely. Let's get to some stuff for this holiday as well too, because I know you're always trying to stay on top of what's next. I know last winter I saw you making cocoa bombs on the Kelly Clarkson show. So awesome to see you on that show. What was that like being on set there with Kelly?
Oh my goodness. She's the best. I mean, she's just so relatable, down to earth, approachable. Her entire team is just so happy. They love their job and she really knows how to run a show. She does a great job of it. And it was such a cool experience. It was fun and silly. And those chocolate bombs are just fun in itself. I mean, that recipe, you can't not have fun making something that just melts and explodes and puffs up all these marshmallows. So if you guys didn't get a chance to make that last year, the recipe that I have is just really, really simple. And yeah, it was so much fun.
Nice. So I'm curious, on the heels of that, I'm sure people will be trying that again this winter, but what's up next food trend wise, whether it's holiday related or not, what's kind of around the corner that you have your eyes on?
You know, I think there's a lot going on with different produce. And so I feel like what I'm seeing more of is vegetarian dishes. That's a huge hot trend right now. I feel like everyone that I'm following is always trying to push the envelope with what can we do to these vegetables? What can we do with zucchini? What can we do with kelp? And so that's something that I'm seeing a lot of, is less meat and more vegetables. And then I don't know if I mentioned this last year, but being someone that's half Filipino, I'm seeing a lot of Asian and Filipino flavors happening. And so, you know, the adobo flavors, a lot of the desserts that they have, the spices that are used in Filipino foods, that's really becoming more popular.
Okay. Nice. I'm okay with a little extra spice. That's exciting to hear. So I look forward to that trend. Speaking of the health and the vegetarian, one healthy thing that I know you and I have a mutual obsession for, because I can just tell it's all over your content, is mango. Oh. I get sliced mango. I get mango margs. I get dried mango. I get whole mangoes that are ripe and fresh. And I also get dried mango. My wife just doesn't understand it, but I'm obsessed with them. Tell me about all the fun things you've been doing with mango in your content, because I've seen it everywhere on your feed.
Well, Alex, it's so weird because as I was talking about those trends, I was thinking of mango. That's so crazy.
love it. Yeah. I'm here for a mango trend too.
I know. Well, I'm the same as you. I love it dried. I love fresh mango. And there's so many different varietals of mango. For me, I've been really having fun using it in sauces, in salsas, in cocktails. You know, people just think of it as something traditionally that you can enjoy by itself, but it's really lovely with different proteins. And you know, I even would dare say I've been working on something where adding it to pizza, which I know sounds a little weird, but if you're someone that's okay with the whole pineapple pizza idea, not as your like main pizza, but just, you know, as something, I actually think that mango wouldn't be a bad one to try.
Oh, wow.
Is that weird? Is that so crazy?
I don't know. I'm ready to try that. I don't know if a lot of people are, but I'm ready for that. Okay.
I'm going to start Googling
mango pizza once we get off here.
That's the thing. To be a food trend expert, you really have to be weird.
Nice. I love that. I appreciate the weird. Brandi Molloy, it's been so much fun having you. Let's do a few holiday rapid fire questions real quick. I think I know the answer to the first one though. Is it just turkey at the Thanksgiving table, or do you do other meats as well for the crowd?
Oh gosh. Are you kidding me? I got to do everything. There's always something else. You know, there's ham for my dad, 'cause he loves a ham sandwich the day after. And then sometimes Mr. A, my husband, will decide to do some crab legs just because he likes to show off. Yes. You know, I've done like some Cornish game hen just because they're cute and delicious too. So I do whatever the people want me to do. I'm literally a slave for my family.
All the meats, love it. And then presents on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or both?
Ooh, for me, Christmas Day. And I'm really strict about the gift giving because my children have both sets of grandparents that love to spoil them. So my kids get three gifts, just like Jesus, from my husband and I. And they might get a pair of like matching pajamas in the beginning of December. We are not big gift people over here. I always remind them, like, your gift is this house. It's fresh water. You know, like, you shouldn't even be excited about the gifts. It's the fact that we're together as a family and everyone's safe and healthy. So
nice. Keeping them really grounded. I love that too. Yeah. Power to you there. Love that. And then the final one I got to ask, always a debate throughout the entire holiday season, decorations, leaving them up past New Year's, or we got to take them down right after Christmas?
Ooh, it depends on my energy level, to be honest. I'm not opposed to leaving them after the first, but by the first week of Jan, they're gone. So, you know, if we go out of town after Christmas or, but, you know, depending on the day that Christmas is, like if, what is it this year? I'm going to look really quick. Okay. So this year it's on a Saturday. I feel like I'm probably going to leave it a week. I'm going to leave it until the following Saturday, which is January 1st, and then it's gone.
Yeah. I'll start having that conversation the first weekend in January. We can agree to that for sure.
Okay.
Brandy, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast with us. It's great to have you back. Can't believe it's been a year since we caught up, but best of luck with all of your content. Say hello to the family, and we'll connect again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
And we're back. Great chat there with Brandy. I have a problem though. Alex, I have a problem.
Here we go.
All right. So we're reusing Halloween candy. We're taking leftover Halloween candy, like Sour Patch Kids and stuff, and we're making bark with it. Okay.
I
we're
like
turning
that idea.
It into something else. Okay. I like the idea. The only problem is you're expecting me to have leftover Halloween candy, but I'm going to want to repurpose in a different way. Sour Patch Kids are great on their own, and that's how I love them. I'm good to eat them all and not have any left over.
Yeah, we're trying to assume that you would pace yourself a little bit leading up to Halloween on the candy.
Absolutely not.
But it doesn't
We buy a bag of candy. You know, the wife buys a bag of candy a month and a half ahead of time, thinking that we're not going to open it and eat it all. And then she's the one who opens it, and she's the one who eats it all. And then we have to go buy more.
A month and a half ahead of time. All right. So where do you stand on that holidays debate that we had with Brandy about when is too early on the Christmas decorations? She did that world market shoot in like September and had the decorations up. She put them back down because she said she wanted to wait till Thanksgiving to do the official, you know, formal putting up of the decorations with the family. So where do you stand on that part of the holiday, I guess?
So having a birthday that always falls around Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do not like to see Christmas decorations in the home until after my birthday.
There's the child coming out right there. You know, listen, this is my week.
I am selfish. I am, you know, egotistical. I don't care. That said, I've gotten a little more relaxed around like Christmas lights on the exterior of the house. I'm willing to those maybe go up a couple days before Thanksgiving, but I don't like the tree to go up until that weekend.
Fair enough. I'm going to bug you guys in about a week or two with everything you see that I do.
Oh,
but
God.
We'll get into that debate on future episodes. Feel free to tweet or Instagram us and send us a message. Let us know, like right now, is it too early? Can the decorations go up, or is that insane asylum stuff?
Halloween get over first, at least. You got to let Halloween happen. Our Halloween lights are up, for crying out loud. So
the wife is already watching brand new Hallmark Christmas movies as we record right now. It's already happening. That we've already jumped the gun there. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Great world out here. All right, let's get to sports because there was actually some decent news, like for sports for us, a little bit.
There were some very big, very big upsets in college football this weekend.
There were. That was nice to see. I appreciate a little bit of carnage. I appreciate teams like Oklahoma being on the ropes. I feel a big gun going down real soon. My bets weren't great. I was 5-7, kind of second the week in a row, but I'm watching the games and I'm calling the winner correctly. I'm just not betting that great against the spread. Nonetheless, check my picks on Twitter for college football fans out there. I am over 54% for the year so far, so doing well, but definitely peep those. I'm due for a pretty good week here. But one thing we cannot complain about, Mike, is the pros in the NFL, because finally you and I had a stress-free NFL weekend. It's unbelievable because I don't know if that's going to happen again. So let's enjoy the moment right now.
Well, that makes you assume that I'm actually paying attention to how bad the Giants are right now.
Yeah, they made it look so easy. It was insane. They had a baseball score going for a while, Mike. They were up 5-3 for about an hour on Sunday. I know you'd appreciate that. They found the way to win very easily as well. And the Pats blew out the Jets, which was nice. I finally got to just like kick my feet up on the couch and just enjoy the game fully. It's been a rough go for the Patriots fans this year, adjusting to life in the new normal, being average again in the NFL.
Yeah, welcome to being a team in the NFL.
And everyone else is just yelling right now, being like, "Yeah, welcome to the rest of the world. Shut up, Alex." Welcome.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, talk to me when your team is so bad. Let you say, "Let I just had an easy win over the Panthers," and I go, "Yeah, right. It's going to be the only win we have all season at this rate."
Enjoy the moments. Enjoy the moments. Just like Brandon Miller said there. Just enjoy the moments.
Enjoy the moments
now in life. I didn't have a great one baseball wise though. I was looking for the Red Sox for a little pick me up from the Patriots Belgium this past few weeks. That did not happen. I got a little too on my high horse after game three when we were slugging home runs left and right over the left field wall in Fenway. And then after that, everything went downhill and we got crushed by the Astros in the end.
Yep. I'm sure they were cheating and that's appropriate for the Astros. And now we're all in on the Atlanta Braves, right? You're a Braves fan now, right?
Yeah, that was the breaking news I was going to give you is I did not see this coming a week ago, a month ago or a year ago, but I am on the Atlanta Braves bandwagon. I didn't realize I would ever say those words, but here we are. Yep. So go Braves. I'm excited for Atlanta and Georgia and the fine Georgians in my life to get a win for their state. So hopefully we can dethrone those cheaters in the World Series. We'll see.
The first World Series visit since 1999, I think it is, or something like that, for the Braves here. So go Braves. Let's go.
Good stuff.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, brought to you by our friends at Tosi, makers of Tosi Snacks, Tosi Super Bites. I love the peanut dark chocolate. I still need to try the new PB&J flavor, but they've got a wonderful selection of healthy on-the-go snacks that don't melt. You put them in your golf bag, you put them in your gym bag, you take them on the go, and they're great wherever. Promo code COL20 for 20% off. Head to tosi.com/COL. It's Halloween week as everyone listens to this course of life. So we're going to tease a little bit of what we're going to bring to the Always End With Food podcast as well, too. Let's talk about what we got. You said earlier you got a bag of Halloween candy over a month ago. I just got like three or four bags this week. What were you purchasing a month ago? What have you already devoured, essentially?
Cheap stuff, quite honestly. You know, the bag that's got Tootsie Rolls and Dots and Tootsie Roll Pops in it.
Oh, wow. You're just going bottom of the barrel. I love that. Getting right in the spirit of it. So I went three or four bags. We got, I think, one kind of sour mix. And then it's tricky because you got your favorites. You know, I wanted the bag that was just like all like Three Musketeers, since that's my favorite bar personally, but that's not everybody's. So then you get the chocolate mix and then you end up buying more than you can take or need. But that's the way Halloween candy works, isn't it?
It is. I mean, what did you prefer as a kid? Did you prefer to get little individual pieces of candy, or did you like it when you got to a house and you got full size candy bars?
Yeah, I mean, I liked the full size candy bars. However, it shouldn't be like an every house is giving out full size candy bars thing. If you're in a neighborhood like that, like, you need to kind of take a step back and reevaluate the way Halloween candy is being given out. I like that to be a rare treat for maybe one or two destination houses in a neighborhood. But overall, I like getting the mix, the cornucopia, the handful of Snickers, the handful of Sour Patch, the handful of Swedish Fish, the handful of Reese's, and kind of just doing that big dump out at the end of the night. You know what I mean? The pumpkin basket out on the floor. Great childhood memories there.
It really is. It really is.
Awesome.
And what are you planning on having for dinner on your table for Halloween? Because that's the other thing.
I'm mimicking the hometown meal. So I'm going with mom's spaghetti and her famous meat sauce with ingredients that shall not be named, but it's amazing. And you'll appreciate this. We're definitely going to do a nice big loaf of garlic bread right in the oven. Just let that bad boy crisp with a whole bunch of garlic and butter thrown in there. And something chocolatey for dessert as well, too. So those are the plans here. Everyone enjoy your Halloween week out there. Check out hashtag always end with food as well for our food podcast, and we'll see you all here next week.